For the fans, by the fans, this is the non-league show in association with Audio Boom. Coming up this week, putting their side of the story, we'll hear from the club whose manager has been banned until 2019 for betting against teams he managed. Plus, we're on the trophy trail and we'll join the fans who are more than just the 12th man. Let's bring in the team. I was going to insert something witty about Donald Trump here. Can't think of anything. So my vote this week goes, as always, to the impartial PR man with the Evo Stick and Rhyming Leagues, Dave Waters.
Good afternoon, good evening, Caroline, to everybody. Yeah, and let's not mention Donald Trump again, please.
Would you like to establish what time of day it is first before we continue?
Well, we're going out in the morning, aren't we? So it's early morning.
Who knows? Perhaps we've been downloaded in the afternoon or even the night, as you just mentioned.
Timeless. As I said, please don't mention Donald Trump again because I'm still getting over the shock here.
Likewise. Well, talking of timeless, our next guest is always first past the post from the National League, Colin Peake.
Hello, Caroline. I'm a poor Hillary Clinton tonight by the sounds of things.
Are you? Poorly being the operative word. You sound a little hoarse.
Yeah, I've had a little bit of a chesty cough, but that's a problem when I got a young grandson and they haven't finally got their immune system together yet. So when they start going to that beautiful thing they call childcare or the day nursery, they pick up every disease going.
Have you had nits yet?
No, but I'll book in for it like everything else that kids get.
Yeah, well, if you're not scratching your head by now, Dave Waters, having I just mentioned nits, I am.
No, I was just thinking about mumps, Colin. That's the one as a man, if you've never had it, to be worried about with grandchildren.
You want mumps and chicken pox and shingles. Listen, there's a football programme, not part of Holby City, thank you.
Can I talk about fibbies and tibbies and injuries like that?
I'll have you know, Colin, 95% of our audience tune in just for this witty bit at the top of the show.
If this is witty, no, don't worry about it. Carry on.
Well, we've got lots to get through this week. Plenty, as I've teased already. But I do want to talk to you both just briefly. Colin, you've been in a board meeting today, haven't you, in the National League? Anything to report?
No, general, usual monthly meeting, going through different things, all the things that get discussed at this time of year. Still waiting to formally meet the Football League and consult with them over the whole game solution. We're talking, as usual, to our sponsors at this time, our broadcast partners, really everything you should be doing sort of mid-season. People may not think this is mid-season, but in the administration of a league, this is about mid-season when we're looking already to the start of next season.
How have you been affected by the FA Cup then? I mean, Waters, you've got a couple of teams still in it, haven't you?
We have indeed, yeah. We've got Stourbridge flying the flag for the second year in a row. Well, they've still got work to do. They've got to get through, beat Whitehawk, I think, next Tuesday night in a replay. And then, of course, in the Southern League, I've got Taunton Town, the Peacocks, who did brilliantly at the weekend on Sunday to get a 2-2 draw. And again, they've got a replay and will host Northampton Town, I believe, if they get through on November the 5th. So just the two left. Unfortunately, the last Ryman boys went out of the weekend.
And for you, Colin, the National League is doing all right?
Well, yeah, we're sitting quite well at the moment with the replays and teams through in the second round. We've still got 18 in the pot. But when we look at the draw, we could have nobody in the third round. We were a little bit unfortunate that no two non-league clubs drew each other. And last year, when we got to the third round, it was a poor show last year, the way the draw went. We only finished up with one, which was Eastleigh. Of course, they're still in the pot this time. So I'm hoping one or two do better and get into the third round where it can be a bit more lucrative. But to be fair, we've got two replays on the television next week, Brackley on the Wednesday night and Dover on the Thursday night. And then, of course, I'm fairly confident that between BBC and BT Sport that we may get possibly another two of our clubs at home against league opposition in the second round, because I think there's a couple of good cracking opportunities to show off all the talent that is the National League.
Yeah, and over £33,000 for getting on that TV. So good news for Dover, for Brackley as well. And fingers crossed for a few more to add to that list. You are listening to the Non-League Show. If anything you want us to mention, of course, you can get in touch at Non-League Show. Now, a story you probably have seen this week is that of Frome Town manager Nick Bunyard, banned from football till 2019 for betting against teams he managed. Gary Collinson is director at the club and joins us now. Hiya, Gary.
Hi there.
How difficult has this week been then?
Oh, it's been a nightmare, really. But not just this week. It's, you know, this has been hanging over us since April now. So, it's been a long, slow process.
What's your reaction to what the FA have done then, this ban till 2019 and a fine too?
Yeah, we, as a club, we kind of think it was harsh, really. You know, we fully accept that what Nick did was completely wrong. He knows that, and as a club, once we found out, we suspended him internally straight away. But we just feel that the punishment is kind of excessive for what he actually did, really. And we just think he's been made an example of.
Carolyn and Gary, could I just ask Gary a quick question there, Carolyn? Gary, yeah. Putting aside the actual length of the ban and your manager has accepted it, obviously, yeah. I'll be careful, I'm the press officer for the league itself.
Yes.
Is the problem, or some people have said to me already, it's the length of time, really, between the offences and this ban being brought in that's kind of, you know, made things worse for you guys. Would you like to see the FA move quicker? Would that have helped you deal with this?
It would have done massively, because we've gone from 2 or 3 weeks before the end of last season right through to halfway through this season without knowing where we stand. Now, if this had been done straight away within 2 or 3 weeks, we could have moved forward. We would have known the situation, and maybe things would have been different. But we have just been in limbo for such a long period of time, really.
Do you think?
I guess the argument from the FA would be that they had some 97 bets to examine, didn't they? So although they dismissed that FA charge that he allegedly even breached an interim ban, yes, that was placed on the 24th of June, they still had, and that's a lot of evidence to go through, isn't it?
It is, but they had the evidence within the space of a couple of weeks. That was provided by the gambling companies within that time. There were various reasons that the thing was held up, which were kind of, to our mind, it was just because it wasn't a priority. You know, if you look at everything that goes on within the game, we're kind of small fish in a huge pond. And it seemed to go onto the back burner until we chased it up, really.
Quite a high-profile case, obviously, going on at the moment involving a well-known footballer who denies any of those allegations against him. But equally, that's taking its time, isn't it? So it showed that even with high-profile cases, there is time that it takes.
Yes, but he's denying the case, isn't he? So in this situation, the charge, the allegation was made, it was admitted straight away, and it's still taken 7 months to get to a hearing. You know, I just think it could have been done, and we think as a club it could have been done a lot quicker. And we also, you know, we're not overly impressed with the way it's been announced. It's been made to sound, in our eyes, much or worse than it actually was, with a really short, sharp statement just released to the world at 5 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon.
Go on, Dave.
No, I was just thinking, again, going back to the thing, wondering what the situation would have been if it had been a Football League club. It sounds like Frome and the officials there, nobody has put any obstacles in the way to delay things. The managers have admitted the charge. It doesn't sound like anyone's disappeared for months, or that, you know, they've taken the time sending the FA the information they need. So it just seems a little bit disappointing. But as Gary said, you know, let's face it, we're often small fish in a huge pond out there of football.
So just to be clear, Gary, you're not in any way arguing what has been found. It's just more about the time that
Absolutely it's taken and the way
that it was announced.
Yeah, I think so. We fully accept that he was wrong, that he shouldn't have done it, and Nick accepts that too. But we just think it could have been handled better and much faster, really.
Just to say that we have given the FA the right to reply in relation
to this instance and what's happened to Nick Bunyard as well. We are waiting to hear back from them, but of course they can come on next week's show should they wish to. Dave?
Yeah, just one last question. Gary, what, with Nick then, I mean, what is the current situation for all your fans, you know, with him? Is he going to serve his ban and you're keeping his job for him when he comes out of it?
He, well, basically,
we
suspended him from back in April when the initial allegations came out. So we have Josh Jeffries managing the side now, who was Nick's assistant at the outset. We've yet to speak to Josh as to whether he's going to carry on. Nick announced that he's going to retire from football altogether. He's really, really disillusioned with the whole thing. Whether that changes over time, we don't know. We're waiting to see, still waiting for written reasons from the FA. And then I guess he'll decide if he needs to or wants to appeal and go from there. But as it stands today, Josh Jeffries is managing the side and Nick has announced he's not coming back into football.
Well, that's very sad. That almost seems like a double punishment. Do you think that was made worse? His attitude now is disappointment because it's taken so long. Do you think if he'd known in the summer, like, you know, right, you're going to face this ban, he may have not taken that decision?
Possibly so. I don't know. I just think it's like he's a massive loss to the game. And I'm not saying that just as a Froome Town manager. I mean, you know, he's been around local football for forever. He does a lot of work with kids and that kind of thing. And they're not trying to make him out to be a saint. Obviously, he's not. But he's got such a lot to offer the game that I think to almost drive someone out of the game for that, for what he's done, it is crazy. And maybe, you know, maybe there's a better way to manage these things. Maybe he gets involved in something positive through football that he can't work. He still can't work in football as a manager or a coach, but maybe get him into schools educating kids or doing something worthwhile rather than lose him to the game altogether, really.
But you have to accept, don't you, Gary, that I know you stress this, that he has done wrong, that he has perhaps been foolish in this too, because I guess if anyone's listening to this not associated with a club and they look at the bare facts, well, they'll be saying he should be banned.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we don't disagree with that, and I don't disagree with that he should serve a ban. You know, I think the headline everywhere is that he bet 45 times against his teams, which to you and I and everybody else means he bet on his side to lose 45 times. Well, that obviously patently wasn't the case. And it, the whole thing, as I said, that he breached his interim suspension order. That I've already seen that reported that he even bet after he was suspended. Well, that wasn't true either. The suspension order he breached, he allegedly texted a player when he was under suspension, so nothing to do with the betting, but the statement doesn't make that clear, and I think it's the perception of what he's done, as wrong as it was, is worse than the actual incident. And you know, people are going to say, well, you're from Froome, you're going to be biased and leaning towards supporting him, and I guess there's an element of that, but just looking at it from purely a factual basis, I think he's you know, 3 years and a £3,000 fine plus costs when he doesn't get paid for managing the side. You know, he makes no money from the game, takes no salary from the game. It's quite a severe punishment.
How is he, Gary?
How is he? Devastated. You know, football is his life. He's been involved in football forever. As a player, you know, he played at a decent standard. His managerial record is superb. His players, current and ex-players are really tight. You know, they're really close-knit community. All his ex-managers, other managers within the league, all have got a lot of positive things to say about him. And to lose that, anyone who's involved in a non-league, knows that it's a massive part of your life. And to lose that for 3 years, it's hard.
What about the club, Gary? How do you guys get over this?
Well, we need to speak to Josh. I mean, obviously, he's not been involved for 6 or 7 months anyway. In that respect, if Josh is happy to continue in the role, which he took in the hope that Nick would be back after, you know, six months or whatever, we carry on. You know, the club's bigger than anyone and anyone individual, and we need to move forward. So, but until we've spoken to Josh, we're not sure exactly how that's going to go.
Caroline, could I just come in here?
Yeah, of course.
I haven't said anything, but I've listened with a lot of interest because I've quite a lot of experience of investigations into betting. One thing I would say to Froome is, has club requested written reasons as to the findings of the commission, which I would have thought was probably conducted by an independent QC. That's usually the form. I can't say because I don't know, and I don't know whether this was a meeting which Nick went to, whether he was represented at the meeting. But some of the points that Gary brings up are valid in lots of respects. There's been a lot of changes at the Football Association. Some of the wheels do turn a bit slower than I'm sure the current administration would like to see. But also there are protocols to follow. There are time limits on people being offered the opportunity to answer things for a proper case to be put, like you would in any court case. So there are some issues there, and I'm sure if the football club felt strongly about Nick's potential to the game, even if it was only as a born-again sinner, and I say that inverted commas in the nicest possible way, there are those opportunities to reduce the ban if he's willing to work in particular things. I did actually read, I didn't know you were going to bring this up tonight, but I actually did read Froome Town's statement today, and it was interesting, some of the facets that was said. But I possibly agree with you earlier on, Caroline, when you said other people in football will be going, how does a manager get into a position like this with so many bets on his own club? Although I don't think it was just Froome alone. I think it was his previous club as well.
Yeah.
But some of those bets involve his own club. And you think this wasn't somebody having a bet on an FA Cup, which isn't anything at all to do. It's his own club. And some people will find that very, very strange. And it's almost like, well, if you're driving in a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit and you're doing 40, you get wrapped over the knuckles. But if you're doing 80, 90 miles an hour and 30, you expect the court to throw the book at you. And I think people, whilst it's hard for Nick, there are these salutary lessons that some people need to understand will happen to you. But coming back to the good side of it, once they get the written reasons from the commission, I am sure there is a way that Nick could offer to be what I said earlier on, an offer to show people this isn't the way we do things in modern day football. You know, we learn. Anyways, enough said.
Well, yeah, Gary, I'll give you the chance to respond to that on a couple of those points. Was it an independent commission, and it was with Poulton Rovers as well as with Froome too. But Gary, the point that Colin makes there, this isn't a one-off. Is it? It's 45 bets.
No, I'm not disputing that. We equally accept that it shouldn't have done it as the tee. But the things that Colin said were really valid too, and it wasn't something that I was aware of. It was an independent commission, and we are still waiting for the written reasons. So obviously, once those come through, we'll be able to consider, or he will be able to consider. I mean, bear in mind, it's a case against Nick, not against Froome Town, really. But he'll be able to consider those and see if there's something that can be worked out there. I just think he would be, you know, it would be beneficial for football to keep people like him involved.
Okay, Gary, really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Gary Collinson, director at Froome. And it's a point, Colin, that you bring up that's been brought up across social media, people commenting on this statement from the club, and the views, obviously, that Gary has then repeated there. If it's difficult when you see so many bets placed, and when he's admitted to those two, to not see that a marker shouldn't be laid down, a point shouldn't be made in this instance.
No, you know, I think people in football nowadays are getting their head around a lot of issues that go on in the game and saying, you know, we have moved forward, you know, and I don't want to bring up any old cases or anything else, but, you know, it's like any court case, you know, that gets reported in the paper, you know, the even if the reporter is independent, he will give a slant on it because part of it is to flare up and get people interested in perhaps buy the newspaper. And probably Dave knows what I'm getting at because we're both media savvy, I suppose. But ultimately, it's the people who sit in judgment, have to make a judgment based on the real facts, the evidence that is presented before them, and not what is somebody else's assumption. And as I said, I've been involved in advising players, never advising a manager. I'm a bit incredulous about that, but I've advised players, you know, and some of them do get a habit because it's a lifestyle they were born into. But we're actually now playing football in a totally different generation. You know, we try and eradicate a lot of the ills in the game to make it much more enjoyable, so that when we do go to watch a football game, you know, whatever level, we believe we're actually watching something that is genuine and is not influenced. And I'm not saying, believe you me, that there's any evidence, and I repeat that, there's any evidence that Nick Bunyard has been involved in any other misdoings. But it's the fans, you know, and the fans who listen to this program must be saying, I want my players and my management team, even the board of directors, you know, to be going out there and we're trying our best on behalf of our club to give proper entertainment and not think, not too sure about that. Anyway, enough said for me.
Could I just add as well, sorry, Callum, just to add to what Colin said. Colin would agree with me on this, I think. I have been to numerous meetings of clubs in the last couple of years when the FA toughened up all their regulations on gambling and et cetera. In the case of the Ryman League and the Northern Premier League, I've definitely been at meetings where the FA have sent, you know, representatives down from their gambling unit or whatever it's called and explained to them the new rules, told them what's going on, what they can and cannot do. So it has to be fair to the FA and the people that have imposed this sentence on poor Nick. You know, he would have known well in advance that he was definitely doing something he shouldn't be doing, because it has been made really, really clear to all the clubs. And I suppose the last thing to say is that if they hadn't, you know, I suppose they had to set a precedent, because as Colin said, you know, the amount of times he had gambled and the fact that he was gambling on his old clubs left them with very little choice.
And the FA, just to reiterate, that independent commission examined 97 bets, dismissed that FA charge that he had allegedly breached an interim ban, which was placed on him on the 24th of June. We, of course, as Froome was saying there, as Gary was saying there, hope to see the written reasons behind this too. And we have invited the FA onto the show. But both of you making valid points there as well. A fine of £3,000 was also added to that, and he's banned from football until July 2019. You are listening to the Non-League Show. With me this week, Colin Peake from the National League, Dave Waters of the Evo Stick and Ryman Leagues. And it's to the Evo Stick we head next, Mr. Waters, to talk about Shore Lane. They're in trophy action this weekend.
Oh, indeed, our Shore Lane. Well, I think you've got some people coming on there from Shore Lane. Without bringing up a sad subject, I think everybody connected with Shore Lane, we'd still be trying to get over, you know, Daniel Wilkinson, the death of their player last month. I'm just pleased to see the club doing, you know, something good happening at the club now after, you know, the tragic death of their player last month. That was at Brighouse Town, as I'm sure everybody's aware. So it's great to see them going on in the trophy and getting a bit of a run together.
Well, let's speak to Craig Wood, manager at Shore Lane now. Hiya, Craig.
Hello, good evening.
Thanks for coming on. I know you'd echo Dave's thoughts there. It's been a difficult time for the club of late.
Yes, it has been a difficult time. Obviously, the tragic events of that night at Brighouse is still very raw. You know, it's not that long ago still, and we kind of feeling it. But you know, the team certainly has brought them together, and you know, if there's anything positive come out of it, you know, we've got the foundation, which will hopefully be a charity soon, which is good news. So yeah, it's at least there is something, you know, that we can hopefully put forward for the future and hopefully save some lives.
And my apologies, I did actually call you the manager. Of course, you're the chairman at the club, and you're the one that the manager and I know the volunteers, those connected to the club, have really turned to over these past few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, nothing can kind of prepare you for that, you know, for what happened. As chairman, I guess, you know, you've just got a duty to be that person and that figure, you know, that people turn to. But you know, it's something that we've all grouped together really, and as a club, you know, hopefully we've done the right things and said the right things, and that's where we are really.
The trophy this weekend, Craig, and I know for the club as well, to have something to focus on, a competition that you're doing well in.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret that the league itself is our priority, but you know, I'd be lying if I said this particular FA Trophy tie is not us all a bit excited. Yeah, we can't wait for it.
You look at the two sides involved, you know, Craig, the manager there, your manager there, Craig Elliott, he's obviously doing well in the league. You're top of the league. You were going for the title last year and promotion, and you just missed out. But unfortunately, Whitby Town are top of the Northern Premier League's Premier Division as well. So it's going to be some big game for you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you look at it on paper, I think it's the hardest tie possible. But you know, we've won the last 9 games in all competitions. There's a real buzz around the place. I mean, we played in a County Cup game a few days ago, and everybody wanted to be involved. So I guess, it's a massive game for us, a really tough test. I mean, we're underdogs, but, you know, we're not there to make the numbers up. We'll give it a real good go, I'm sure.
No, that's clear. That's certainly clear. But what's impressed me as well is that the fact that you picked up where you left off from last season, because you had that disappointment of, you know, getting to the playoffs and then just missing out, and I think you were leading for a long way through the season. So you come back from that. You've also dealt so well with what happened, as we've discussed with poor Daniel, and yet you're still flying in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you know, pointer from last season, you know, I mean, to finish the season on 94 points and only losing 4 games. You know, we wouldn't be disappointed in not getting promoted, but you know, let's look at it. It was the first season in the Evo Stick, and we've learned lessons from it. You know, we've come back this season as a change in playing stuff, quite a big one, really. You know, so it's even more impressive that the manager has you know, done what he has. I think we've got probably only about 4 or 5 players from last season, so. To be doing what we're doing at this stage of the season, lost 1 game so far, and it's picked up. It's a great achievement as chairman. I couldn't be more pleased with how things are.
Yeah, deservedly so.
Well, Craig, we wish you all the best of luck to you and to the team this weekend. Thanks very much for coming on.
No problem.
Cheers. Good luck, Craig.
Cheers.
Craig Wood, chairman down at Shore Lane. I called him manager. He's been doing so many things around the club over the past few weeks. He probably feels like he's involved in every role there. But it would be a real fillip, wouldn't it, Dave, for Shore Lane to do well in the trophy?
It would. I think everybody with a heart would, you know, the neutrals would love to see them go on, you know, after what's happened to them this season. If they were to reach the later rounds, you know, after Christmas and stuff, and meet some big conference club, sorry, National League clubs, Colin, before you shoot me down the line. I think it'd be wonderful it'd be fantastic. It'd be as if they could get to Wembley, but that's a long way off still. But I think, as he said, that it's the league is the other big thing for them. They, you know, they really came close last season. They're on it again. So best of luck to them on both fronts from everyone, really.
Talking of the trophy, I met a former North Ferriby player today, bumped into, who's working as a coach at Hull City. That was just a brief aside. Is Colin Peake still with us?
I am indeed.
Oh, he's our silent partner, but I prefer it when you're
which
talking.
Which is very. I'm a changed Dave Anderson's clone.
Yeah, you'd be shouting down the line at me.
Sometimes he's got his mind to get off his chest.
there are some subjects which it's always better to stay silent, and that was one. Very respectful to Craig and what they've been through. We in the National League and before us in the Football Conference, according to my memory, we've only ever had it happen to one player in the history of our league. A player that I knew very well, Matt Gadsby, who I signed at Forest Green Rovers before he moved to Hinckley. And, when you look at how many players suffer death from a variety, it's not always heart attacks. There's been very, very strange cases of injuries that players have had, or aortas or ruptures, and even being struck by lightning, and it doesn't matter how much we plan for these events. Whilst we have got equipment then called defibrillators, and there should be no reason why any sporting club shouldn't be able to gain some assistance from the Football Association and the British Heart Foundation to be able to buy these at a very cheap rate. I know we did, and we insist on our clubs having them at least a minimum of one. They come out about £300-400, which isn't a lot to pay, and it's there and it can help you. Like Craig said, how do you prepare yourself? Well, you can't. It's the same as, a member of your family goes off to work in the morning and for some reason doesn't come home in the evening. It's very, very difficult, and we all cope with it with a different mechanism. And all we can do is rally around. And football clubs, aren't this the same wrong, but it's not a bad place for it to happen, because you do have people who will rally around. You already have your teammates, your colleagues, the support system is there because you're all in it together to start with. And I just wish Shaw Lane all the very, very best. And whatever happens with their results in the league, in the trophy, or whatever they play in, Daniel will be there, and Daniel will be supporting them. That's all you can wish them. And everybody recognises that sometimes you do need a shoulder or an arm around your shoulder.
Yeah, it's the community of football. The reason why we're all involved in it every week. Colin, we're going to talk in a minute to the Hungerford chairman about they've got a crowdfunding project to get money together to help the club stay in the National League. But I also want to briefly touch with you on some activities going in the National League this weekend. Of course, there's been lots in the news this week about England and Scotland in their match and whether they will or won't wear the poppy. We're recording this on a Thursday night, so we don't know whether that has happened. I take it it will happen. The FA have said that they will go through with it. And Altrincham, I see today, Colin, they've got some special shirts that have been designed for this weekend to commemorate Remembrance Weekend. I know they came to the National League and asked permission for that. They'll have a large poppy on the shirt with the words "Lest We Forget" on it, too, in the centre of the shirt. And Colin, every year, a lot of money is raised by clubs within your league for the Royal British Legion.
Yeah, I mean, last year was a special year, so we did a collective operation, if that's the right word. I didn't want to make it sound like it's a military operation, but we collectively collected £18,000. I would have liked to have seen a bit more personally, but what we say about the poppy is it's a national recognition, but it should be freely given, and if a club doesn't want to do it, or if a particular player doesn't want to do it, and they are no different to people who in the First World War and the Second World War perhaps didn't want to fight, it was against their principles or their religious way of life, then everybody should be entitled to have that respect. And we've said this year that we weren't going to do anything really special again this year. It was, as I say, quite a big operation last year. But we've recognised by telling our clubs that this Saturday is the day when our member clubs, those playing at home, should take advantage of utilising the day to honour the poppy and what it stands for. And everybody's got a different impression of what the poppy stands for. So, you know, as I always brought my children up, always respect somebody else's views. Never impose your views on somebody else. So we don't do that. We just offer them the opportunity that we would like to see them have a minute's silence. And if they wish to incorporate that with some other event locally with the British Legion, then by all means, that is the club's own decision. But please ensure that the away team are fully briefed. Don't wait till they turn up. Please do it. And I know we have a live game on Saturday on TV. And I think there is a couple of things going to be specially done by Woking, you know, ahead of that game. And we will give it due reference. And I'm sure our broadcast television partner will do so in the run-up to kickoff.
I'll talk more about your broadcast partners this weekend. Go on, Waters, quickly.
Oh, I was just going to say, just for the record, that the Northern Premier League, the Southern League and the Ryman League, the first thing they did at the start of the month was put poppies on their respective websites. And in the same way the National League have done, I would think all of the clubs in those leagues will be holding a minute's silence at the weekend. And many other clubs are doing activities around it. For instance, Dulwich Hamlet in their boardroom on Friday night, they're having a special memorial service, remembrance service, where they've got their memorial in the boardroom, and the fans have been invited along to that. But that kind of thing is happening all around non-league at the clubs I know of anyway, which is wonderful, and it's great to see people remembering people's sacrifice.
Let's bring another voice into the show, shall we? I mentioned Hungerford. Show, shall we, Hungerford? It's not easy to say, especially not for me, sitting in a very cold room at the moment, my lips turning blue. But I know both of you sympathise with me greatly. Let's bring in Nigel Warwick. He's chairman at Hungerford. Hiya, Nigel.
Hello, how you doing?
Very well, thank you. Now, tell us about your crowdfunding, sir. This is to try and raise £35,000 for ground improvements.
That's right. It's part of a campaign that we're doing. The other things we'll be doing as well is the crowdfunding. We have to get our ground upgraded, obviously, because we're in National League South now. And that sort of involves really 100 new seats that we need. We have to improve our floodlights, and we need 4 extra turnstiles. At the same time, we're sort of thinking, well, while we're doing that, you know, with the turnstiles, we might as well then improve the clubhouse and the changing rooms and various other things. So, as an ambition, we're trying to raise 50% of the money ourselves and then get 50% sort of co-funded to do the improvement. And crowdfunding is, you know, something we wanted to try, see if we could get everybody behind us, because it's a way of people to donate a little bit. So the more people that donate, you know, it could be small amounts of money, it all adds up. We're currently at about 4% of our target, but we've only just started doing the actual campaign. So we've raised about £1,500, and that's from 28 supporters. What's interesting about it, though, is people, you know, who might not even be associated with the club, might sort of want to support grassroots football, so they can put £20 in or £10 in and be recognised on the webpage as they do it, or they can actually stay anonymous. And then as you're doing this, you need to sort of invent a few things. In the new stand that we need for the 100 seats, you know, we're selling each seat so that we put a little tag on the seat. It can be a selfie, it can be an inscription or a mixture of both. And we're selling the seats for £100 each. The idea is 100 times 100 is £10,000. One of the other ideas we've got is we're going to ask someone to name the stand. And in fact, there's going to be an auction for, you know, naming the stand after anyone you may wish to sort of commemorate. Unfortunately, the first bid that came in was they were going to put Nigel Farage on there for some reason. Hopefully, that travesty won't happen and someone will bid a little bit more money to change that.
Well, I think that was that Colin or Dave trying to bid more money then? I'll take the money off.
I was just thinking about, you'd get plenty of publicity for that, though, if you do have Nigel Farage on as the name, you know?
It could have been Donald Trump, actually, couldn't it, as well? I guess it's a significant thing that happened in 2016. So someone genuinely said they'd pay £1,000 to name the stand after Nigel Farage. So hopefully it's going to spur people to push that further. And that's either an annual fee that they, you know, they do it for a year, or if someone comes in with a big price, they can have the whole stand, you know, with their company name on it. And then when we're actually doing the clubhouse as well, we're going to have a wall of fame. Steve Skitworth, one of the trustees of the club, came up with the idea that as we're building a wall, maybe we can put people's names in the bricks.
Well, now you're talking about walls now. I mean, Donald, if he hears about this, I know he's a bit busy. If he hears
He couldn't help himself, could he?
He hears this, he'll want to put his name on your entire stadium, but I suppose the money he's got, he might.
I'd like to think he's not a regular listener to the non-league show. Obviously, no political allegiances here. What I would say, though, if we're looking at this too, it's been a pretty meteoric rise, hasn't it, for Hungerford to the National South? Is it one of those things where, obviously, you knew that you're going to have to upgrade your ground, Nigel, but the amount and getting to that stage, did that catch you unawares?
Oh, very much so. I mean, what has to happen now is the club has to catch up with the football. Bobby Wilkinson, my manager, lucky enough, you know, I chose him many years ago. Well, not that many years ago, probably 7 years ago, and came to the club. And his passion and, you know, the way that he's organised the team, you know, we're currently in an intense position in the league, which, you know, is more we could have even hoped for, really, come into a new league, and slightly naively come into a new league. And, you know, his attributes of taking the club, you know, through a couple of leagues, up to the lofty level we are now, and the club has to catch up. You know, we're getting more people coming in to watch football, both away sport and home sport. And it's interesting when you think of, you know, the crowdfunding thing, you know, we've got 28 sports, but you actually at 4% of what we need to raise, if the 300 people that come into the ground, 400 people that come into the ground, you know, did, you know, put a little contribution in, we'd reach our target. So it's an easy thing to talk about, but obviously getting people to do things is a lot harder.
And what about the argument that it's kind of sort of running before you can walk, and that maybe it was better getting all these things in order before taking promotion?
Yeah, it doesn't work like that, life, does it? You know, sometimes.
No.
You know,
and I'm just grumpy. That's
what I will say, though, is, you know, you could argue, you know, having to have that burden put on you when you first go into a league, I think is quite excessive, if I'm honest. You know, there should be a bit of a longer calling off period for people to sort of.
Should we see if our man from the league wishes to answer that?
Please.
Colin?
It's quite strange, really, because our board meeting today, we had one of the items on the agenda, the Football Association talking about this very same thing. I think that some of the ground grading at lower levels, perhaps step 7, 6, 5, even to 4, can be a bit more relaxed. But certainly once you get up into step 3 and you're looking to advance, then I think clubs do need to keep a watchful eye on it. As Nigel will know, I personally came down to Hungerford for their very first home game, which was one of their local games against Oxford City. And I met Nigel and some of the other senior members of the club, having walked around, used my experience in the game. And I openly said to them, you know, this is a true non-league ground. I love it to pieces, but you do have quite a lot of work to do. And the main bit, as Nigel will no doubt agree, is the floodlights. The floodlights have been there for 50-odd years. They're not in the best condition, and they just will not pass the next step up. And that is where they need to concentrate and doing the other work at the same time, which may not be that relevant. you know, so I would say to the fans of Hungerford, you know, what Hungerford do need the money for, and Nigel can disagree, but hopefully he won't, is about the floodlights, because, you know, if this level of football, step two and step one, you are playing a heck of a lot of night games, and you do need quality lights, and people expect it. And the other thing is, you know, clubs come in our league, they're given a sort of 10 months moratorium to get the work done. And I've been through it personally. I've had to build a whole load of terraces in a 12-week period. And I know it's not easy. And finding that money is not easy. And Hungerford is a lovely market town. I love going to Hungerford. It has some of the best eateries, if that's the right word, Nigel, anywhere, from miles and miles. I love the place. And I just love Hungerford Football Club. It oozes non-league. But, you know, how long do you give somebody? You know, we without mentioning names, we went to see a club recently. I know Hungerford are getting an official visit in the next couple of weeks, I believe. Was on the schedule today. But, you know, we said to a club, well, you know, if you want to play in the playoffs, then this is what you need. But why? Well, because everybody else says so. And it's not just our rules. It's laid down in the National League system, you know. And if a club had to do it last year, why shouldn't they this year? So there's loads and loads of arguments why clubs perhaps shouldn't have to do something. But on the reverse side, you know, we're trying to reduce standards. And, you know, it shouldn't all necessarily go on having the best side in the world, because, you know, how far do you want to take that? You know, go up the Premier League and still not have the right number of seats? You know, perhaps I'm going too far there with my analogy, yeah, but hopefully you get my drift.
I agree with you, especially the floodlights, very much so. But what I would say is, as a club matures, one of the things we've done is we've concentrated on the quality of the pitch, and Steve Skipworth, one of our trustees, done an amazing job on the pitch, and it's shared between several layers of football, really, the academy, first team, the Swiss, the veteran, and keep that pitch in great order. I think that's where a player, you know, can play on the football pitch, and you're right with the floodlights. I think on the seating, we'll reach our target, we'll do the seats. I think the difficult one is the turnstiles, is, you know, having six turnstiles that you're never going to use, really. You know, you might use them in a playoff, you might use them in a big game. You know, that I think could be leverage for, you know, a future, or, you know, immediate future, but that could be something that would take the pressure off teams if they could. Okay, you haven't got six turnstiles, you've got two. People might have to queue to get into the ground for the big game. You know, that's something that puts a lot of pressure, because you then have to stick those turnstiles onto your infrastructure. You know. And by the way, we've got planning permission, or government planning permission to do all that. It's just, you know, I think, as you say, there's some critical things that should be always mandatory. The pitch, the floodlights, you know, and seating. But the other piece that I think could be maybe leveraged slightly secondary, or put on order, you know, the searches follow. Anyway, we could argue that all day, but
yeah, you're making Colin cough, Nigel. You're making him cough. Nigel, just briefly before we let you go then, so you need £35,000. Are you confident you'll get it, and are you confident that you'll be able to stay in the National South?
At this stage, you know, I'm confident that people will, our club, be it the community, be it others, you know, want to help us, friends, you know, that sort of thing. But it remains to be seen. And also, of course, we're going to be doing other things as well. You know, there's a lot of people in our club going to be doing different functions, raising money. And of course, what we're raising on the surface is probably then hopefully going to be matched with grants that we're applying for. So, Norman Matthews, another trustee of the club, he's getting all the planning done for the actual changes. You know, we're going full gun ho to get things done. And equally, he's keeping the brand, you know, for the official channels. And they're good things as well, where, you know, you sometimes get whatever money you raise matched. And of course, that then helps you hit the target. So at this stage, I'm confident that, you know, sounds to be good for all, so I can't say that we're definitely going to do it, no.
Hey, Nigel, we'll keep up to date with it. We'll keep an eye on it too. We wish you all the best of luck in getting there.
Thank you.
Best of luck.
Thanks, yeah, Nigel. Thank you for coming on.
We wish him all the best from the National League. We don't want to see any club, Caroline, thrown out of the league because they don't meet the ground grading requirements. But, you know, some of the ground grading requirements, I would remind listeners, are set in law. They're not necessarily just what football people think of. You know, they are lawful requirements that any place of entertainment must have.
Just Google Hungerford and crowdfunding and it will come up with a link as well to their Just Giving page if you're interested in finding out more.
I think it's worth saying as well that the rules are the same for everybody.
Absolutely, absolutely. Nigel, thanks for coming on again. Nigel Warwick, Chairman at Hungerford Town. Well, that's almost it from us this week. Is there anything else, sir, that you'd like to add, Mr. Waters?
It is. I've just got a couple of little news lines for you. Neil Tooth at Sutton Coldfield Town, people may have seen this in the last couple of days, he left the club, the Royals, after 7 years in total. He was there as manager and assistant manager. And Hastings United tonight, actually, or last night, depending on when people are listening, were having a huge public meeting because they are moving, hopefully, to a £70 million purpose-built stadium and sports village. So if they win two promotions, they won't have any problems joining Colin in the future. And the other one, just a quick mention of Hitchin Town tonight. Arsenal and a load of ex-Arsenal stars, Grant and Rice from the past, all sorts of people, they're all down at Topfield tonight, inaugurating their new floodlights nearly 60 years after an Arsenal side came down to play their first ever match under floodlights. So this is a big event there at Hitchin tonight as well.
Brilliant, brilliant. Thank you, Mr. Waters, as always. Mr. Peake, anything from you?
No, could somebody tell me, with all the replays going on next week, who's actually playing for the England C team away in Estonia? I'm finding it very, very difficult. There's players coming in and going out. It's worse than when the transfer window's open.
You mean you've not had a call-up?
Well, if I do, I don't, you know, with due respect to Estonia, I don't really want to go to Estonia in November, but I'm sure the young lads who are going to play will wear the Three Lions badge with pride. And I do wish them, joking apart, I wish them all the very best next week. And I do feel sorry for those players who, you know, had an England shirt and now won't get one because obviously their clubs are involved in FA Cup replays. But, you know, it's a shame, really. And I'm sure there are a few players that... won't be getting on the plane who will be thinking, oh, if only we'd have done that last Saturday, I'd be on the plane.
Let's hope they get another chance, Colin.
Yeah, let's hope so. And I think Paul Fairclough is fairly minded from that point of view to not forget those players who have lost out through no fault of their own. And it is just a shame. But as I say, onwards and upwards. We've got a live game on TV this weekend. And, of course, now you're not with BBC. Of course, we can say it's BT Sport without you blanking us out, Caroline.
We'll just cut that whole last section. Colin Fairweathered, I'm going to call you now, Peake, given he won't pull on his boots to go out to Estonia. And Dave Waters, thank you very much for your time this week, as always.
Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you, Caroline. It's been a pleasure. And as I say, I wish Dave all the best to follow me.
yes, Mr. Anderson, if you're listening. You can, of course, find us, as you have done, on our new home. You can download us via Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, the TuneIn Radio app too. And if you want to put the podcast on your own website, you can just head to nonleaguefootballshow.com, where there is a free embeddable player there for your delectation. Until next week, goodbye.